You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, since its launch in the late 1990s, Google has grown to become the dominant leader in internet searches. Now, the name has even entered our lexicon as a verb to describe online searches, as in, I Googled the recipe. Now, Google, which is owned by parent company Alphabet Inc., has only two direct competitors in the United States with substantial market share, which is Microsoft Corporation's Bing site and Yahoo under parent company Verizon Media there. In the fiercely competitive and profitable world of online search, Google dominates in the United States with 88.83% share of the web search market as of April 2021. Is there hope then for any other search engines there? And to join us for this conversation, it is my elder Damon. Good evening, elder.
Evening. How are you? And I also say good evening to all the listeners.
I'm doing well, my elder. Thank you for asking. I believe they're also doing very well. How was your day?
My day was okay. Yeah. I would like to thank the Lord.
Indeed.
Otherwise, it's the holiday mood.
Already started.
Yeah, the towns are a bit empty. And people are just in a relaxed mood, yes.
Fantastic. Are you already on holiday?
Kind of, though, you know, we are still doing a few things here and there, finishing our research and all those things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fantastic. So you're still doing kind regards for the last time.
Yes.
It's one of those things. Thank you so much, my elder, for joining us. Really appreciate your time. And as always, whenever we need to have these really crucial conversations, we thank you for availing yourself. The world of online searches, my elder, I just want us to go back a little bit. It never existed at a certain point in time, isn't it?
Yes. It never existed, but it just changed the face.
Yeah.
Just like we have been saying previously, that all the things that we are using today have just changed face. They used to be there, but we are just doing it in a different way. Technology has just transformed the way we were using the searching.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they were there, but it is just a different way of doing things altogether. And I can also see in the near future, say 10, 15 years from now, the same search engines that we are looking at today will have to change their faces so much that we will look at this technology to be outdated, and our great-grandchildren will be saying, hey, you old people, what did you use?
Yes.
Were you able to surf the internet with what were you using?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
So times change,
Times change, right? So there's absolutely nothing new under the sun, I hear you saying. It just changes the face and how it looks. But then, what did we do before Google, my elder? How did we learn anything?
Before I go there, first I would like to define a certain word. When we talk about Google, when we talk about Yahoo, we talk about Bing.
Yeah,
we are actually talking about search engines. Now, these are software programs.
Yeah,
or online services that will enable users to search for information on the internet.
Yeah.
Now we are looking at searching for information on the internet.
Yeah.
So the primary function of a search engine is to index or to organize the web content, making it very easy and accessible to users when they are looking for something specific. So that is a search engine. Now, some people could use a search engine with a web browser. Now, okay. When we are talking about surfing the web, we also use what we call a web browser, which is an application that allows users to access or navigate the World Wide Web.
Okay.
So these web browsers actually serve as an interface between the user and the internet. So we need to be aware that examples of search engines, like I said, is Google, Yahoo, and then we've got Bing and others that we are going to talk about this evening. When we talk about web browsers, we've got Google Chrome, you know, when you want to like Internet Explorer, Google Chrome, there is Firefox, you know, those are what we call the web browsers.
Okay.
So I just wanted to put that into perspective so that we can understand what we are talking about. Now, your question was that.
I wanted to take you back there just a little bit, my elder, if you can just repeat that for us. So there's a difference between a search engine and a web browser. So a web browser will be your Google Chrome, your Firefox, and those. Those are web browsers. They are not search engines.
No, they are not search engines. These are software applications that will allow users to access or to navigate the internet.
Okay.
So it will allow you to navigate the internet or the World Wide Web.
Yes.
So internet actually is a connection of different computers and different networks, and you know, they are interconnected.
Yeah.
Now, when you are using a web browser, you are actually accessing. You are using an application that is going to help you to access and navigate the World Wide Web.
Yeah.
So it will serve as an interface between you and the internet.
Yeah.
So it will enable you to retrieve and display web pages. For example, when you go to Internet Explorer, you want to check, maybe you are searching for a university. You will put in www.something. What you are doing there, you are using a web browser.
Okay.
So whenever you want to search for something, for example, if I want to know much about, I want to go to the website for SID or AWR, I will search in www.awr.com or .org. Then it will take me to that website. So what I am going to use is a web browser.
Yes.
So I will go to Google Chrome, or I will go to Firefox, and then I type in the URL there on top.
Yeah.
I put those things. Then I am going to access the World Wide Web.
Yeah.
Yes, I will get the website. So it helps us to look for websites, actually.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm with you now.
Yes. So that's the web browser. So web browsers are able to interpret and render what we call hypertext markup language documents, which allow users to view. You can view text, you can view images, you can view videos, and you can buy things on the internet using a web browser, because the so-called stores, online stores, are actually websites.
Yes.
They are websites.
Yeah.
So a web browser enables you to access the World Wide Web. That's why you find that a website begins with www.something.
Yeah.
So it's World Wide Web dot Helderberg College of Higher Education or www.SID or AWR. Anything that you want will be connected to the World Wide Web.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So before then, going to my question, because I think I want to paint that picture first. Did we rely on books to learn, to get information, hard copies? We couldn't access websites. There was no browsers that allowed us to then learn more. Because if I also put into context the conversation we once had, where now the internet gives us access to things that ordinarily we would have to spend money. For instance, if you're looking for a certain book or publication, you'd have to go and buy it in the US if it's written in the US. But nowadays, you can find it online. So it seems like there's this shift, this new world that wasn't there before the World Wide Web.
Yes. So that world was very, very interesting.
Mm.
You know, in that world, we used our memory was very, very stable and very strong because we relied much on memory rather than on gadgets.
Yeah.
I remember in the early 90s when I was in secondary school.
Yeah.
In the place where I was, the textbooks were a problem.
Mm.
You know, for you just to get a textbook, I remember I used my elder brother's textbook, which he had used before, and we were just using, you know, it had gotten finished. And so information was hard to come by, and publications were very, very scarce.
Yeah.
So people used a lot of things. We used libraries
to do research yes.
before Google.
Yeah.
Because mind you, like you said in your preamble, Google was just incorporated in 1998.
Yeah.
So it was actually founded by two guys who were at Stanford University in California.
Yeah.
So before that, you know, they were just doing a project like a PhD project.
Mm.
So then they came up with this. They had a breakthrough that was very, very good.
Mm.
It was a very good, you know, innovation.
Mm.
So now we used library searches and we could find information. People would use card catalogs, reference material, and librarians were actually helping to locate for books,
which means
you go to a library and there you get the books. And it was very difficult to get certain books in those days.
Mm.
You could get the journals and other publications.
Mm.
Apart from libraries, we also used encyclopedias.
Yeah,
these encyclopedias were in print form.
Mm.
Then, when the technology was becoming much more accessible, we could now have CD-ROMs.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where we could have CD-ROMs where we could access the information, the books and the encyclopedias.
Mm.
So now they were in the media, you know, in CDs form. So that's where we got the information generally. Then encyclopedias provided a very broad overview of topics which were available. And at that time, we could have encyclopedias in homes, also in libraries, like I said.
Yeah.
And then the schools had libraries which had all these books.
Yeah.
Apart from that, we also used dictionaries. We were using these dictionaries where we could get spellings, we could get definitions.
Yeah.
Mind you, all these things that I'm talking about are now available on Google or on search engines.
Yeah.
So we could use dictionaries, and sometimes a dictionary could give a brief explanation of concepts.
Yes.
There were some dictionaries which were maybe a biology dictionary, maybe English dictionary, maybe dictionaries to deal with physical science or things like that.
Yeah.
Apart from that, the other source of information that now has been, all these things have been incorporated now in search engines. You can get them from a search engine.
Yeah.
We use directories.
Yeah.
There were those yellow pages, you know, if you want to check for a number, you go to those directories.
Yeah.
And at that time, people who were found in directories were, you know, well to do. They were sophisticated, you know.
Yeah.
And we could have the post boxes and all those where we could receive information through.
Sure.
So directories were actually used to find businesses and services So, you know, the directories were demarcated or put in different categories.
Yes.
If it is industries, if it is government pages, if it is companies, and then eventually there could be IT companies, hospitals, and all those. So you go to those directories to get the information that you want.
Sure.
Then we also had telephone inquiries.
Yes.
People would often call, you know, government offices to ask questions that they want to get information for over the phone. Then we had newspapers, like we've been saying. Newspapers were now very, very common and popular.
Yeah.
And people could buy newspapers,
yeah.
I'm telling you, in magazines,
yeah.
where information was, you know, you could get news, you know. Something must be printed for you to...
Yeah.
To get the news.
Yes.
But today it's not like that anymore. So the newspapers, these were called print media, you know. Then we had also the TV and the radio. People relied very much on TV, but those were filtered, which means the television could only give you so much according to the channel and what they allow, including the radio. So broadcasting stations provided news.
Yeah.
They provided documentaries and all those things. Then we also had word of mouth.
Sure.
People relied on the word of mouth, where you hear something and then you take it and then you pass it to another. Then we had books and periodicals, academics and nonfiction. Then, these are the systems that we used before the advent of the internet and the search engines like Google, which in a way have revolutionized the way people access information. It has become quicker.
Yeah.
It has become more convenient.
Yeah.
So actually, there are some methods that are still limping. On the methods that I've mentioned. So that is that's where we are. So this is what we used to do before time.
You've just taken us through a lecture that's worth thousands of friends there, my elder, because when one thinks about some of this, I mean, we have experienced some of them. Some of them maybe came before some of our time, for example. But just that history on its own is such an amazing history to just glance back at it and be like, yo, so the world has moved so much to be where it is today. And like you're saying, even the way it is today, it's still going to change. And one then often wonders, is there even more to still come from here? Say Christ still hasn't returned with the clouds of heaven. And from what you're saying, it sounds like there's still even more to still come. But I want us then to talk about this one, my elder. Google, now coming into Google itself, it has other competitors. You know, you've got your Bing, you've got your Yahoo, and all these other search engines or, you know, web browsers, whatever the case might be. But they just don't seem to be able to compete with Google. What is it about Google that has taken the global world by storm?
I just want to... Yeah, that's a very, very huge question.
Mm.
And, you know, there are a lot of search engines that many people do not know about.
Yeah.
We know, of course, Google, we know Yahoo, we know Bing. These are those that are well known. But there are others.
Okay.
Yes, there are others. I'll just mention a few, then go to why Google is or has dominated.
Yeah.
What is their secret? Okay, so we have other search engines. There are a lot of alternatives, like DuckDuckGo.
Okay.
It is known for its emphasis on user privacy. So it does not track users' data or personalize search results.
Okay.
So a lot of people who don't want to leave a trial of whatever they've done, they go to search. Then we've got Baidu. Okay, some people say Baidu. It's a leading search engine which is found in China. Mind you, China is very, very huge. It's got a lot of people, many people. Okay. So they offer services in Chinese. It includes web searches, image searches, video search, and it is more sophisticated. So that one is found in China. Then we've got Yandex.
Okay.
It's also a Russian search engine that provides web search images, videos. So, you know, these superpowers have their own search engines. We rely much on Google because we bend towards the West.
Yes.
We bend towards America and United Kingdom.
Yes.
So then there is ask.com. It allows users to ask questions in a natural language format, and then it will give you answers.
Yes.
Then we've got AOL, American Online.
Okay.
It has its own search engine, which combines results from Bing and others. Yes. So now there are many. There are many.
Sure.
We've got Ecosia. We've got StartPage. We've got XQuick. We've got SwiftHouse. A lot of them. Now, I want us to just talk about why Google has an upper hand.
Yeah.
Why? So there are so many, because it's a business.
Oh.
So there are so many factors that have contributed to the success of Google.
Yes.
First of all, I would say the quality.
Okay.
The Google search algorithm.
Yeah.
The page rank.
Sure.
Actually, it is the leading when it comes to search engine technology.
Okay.
It ranked search results based on the relevance and importance of web pages.
Okay.
So it makes it more effective in delivering accurate and useful information.
Yeah.
So the search algorithm quality is very, very good. Now, it would mean if you have to compete, you have to target those points like search quality, algorithm quality. Number two, whenever you make anything, be it a website, be it whatever, a service, it has to be user-friendly.
Yes.
Now, Google's simple and clean user-friendly contributes to its popularity.
Sure.
So it doesn't have a lot of design and also the loading time is very, very minimal.
Yeah.
You type in something, it comes.
Yeah.
That is what a person needs.
Yeah.
Speed and efficiency.
Yeah.
That's again what has given a push to Google. Then they are continuously innovating, meaning they are changing all the time.
Yes.
They are improving their work.
Yes.
And they make sure that they update whatever you type in. It will give you at least the latest information about whatever you type in.
Yes.
So it means that they have invested a lot.
Yeah.
They've got experts who are working day and night. With the coming in of artificial intelligence, now it is even making matters worse because they are now incorporating artificial intelligence in whatever they are doing.
Sure.
Then they also have what we call advertising revenue model.
Yes.
So they've got the advertising platform. So people come with their private businesses and they advertise using Google. So you find that they are coming in with different expertise. So the improvement of Google does not rely on Google as a company. It relies on other businesses that are using Google for their adverts. Because Google is known to attract a lot of people.
Yeah.
So other businesses partner with Google so that they can advertise their things on Google. And for them to have an upper hand, they must put in a lot. So Google is just like a platform, and there are a lot of players inside that platform who are doing a lot of work.
Yes.
Then we've got comprehensive services. Beyond search, Google has expanded its services to include a wide range of products. Now, you can see what Google has done.
Yeah.
There is what we call Gmail.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There is Google Maps.
Yeah.
There is Google Drive.
Yeah.
There is YouTube.
Sure.
And more.
Sure.
So this ecosystem encourages users to stay within the Google network.
Indeed.
So now, it will be very difficult for another company to bring about all these, because you navigate. It's like it's a one platform where there are a lot of services that you can get. Mm. Now, for a company to come up with all these to mimic Google, it will be a nightmare. Then it has reached global heights.
Yes.
Google is available in numerous languages, and it is accessible worldwide.
Sure.
You saw when I said the search engine for China, we've never heard it.
Exactly.
Because it's in Chinese.
Exactly.
But Google can be accessed in many languages,
sure,
including Zulu.
Yes.
And, you know, so it has captured a lot of market. Then we do have mobile optimization.
Mm.
As a mobile device became increasingly popular, Google adapted its services for mobile platforms.
Yeah.
So the development of Android, the mobile operating system, further solidified Google's presence in the mobile service.
Yeah.
So you can see that it's a lot. And like I said, they've been partnering and integrating. Then they look at data-centric approach, you know, they analyze vast amounts of data, brand recognition, developer community, all those. So I can tell you that Google is
massive.
So let me pause here before I go to, if there can be any room for competition. Let me pause here and give you a chance to say whatever you would like to say.
I'm actually mind blown right now just to think about it. And the point around seamless integration with other platforms as well, which maybe are within the Google space, you know, your YouTube, like you're saying, your Gmaps, Google Maps, and your all this, Google Drive and all that. We use these things every single day. And I must attest that it's very difficult to now all of a sudden start on a new thing and have to re-register. And I'm like, yo, this is a lot of work. But if I can move from Gmail to YouTube to Maps, Google Maps, and all, and do all these other things without necessarily having to re-register and start the process afresh, these guys at Google seem like they are not sleeping. They are constantly looking for ways
to. They don't sleep.
I'm
telling you, the human mind is, you know, a human being can think.
Yeah.
And when heads come together, they can do marvelous things.
Mm.
At times, we, you know, that's why a lot of people are even tempted to say, I think a human being does not need God, but we need God because it's God.
Yeah.
Who has implanted, you know, these innovative ideas in people.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's the space we are at the moment. And, you know, many things are still coming.
Sure.
Many things are still coming. We are yet to see a lot of things. That's why with such, you know, because at the moment, everyone is connected in one way or the other. As long as you've got an account, you've got a phone, as long as we are using WhatsApp, as long as we are able to call, you are connected somewhere, you know, you are connected. Hence, our information privacy is at stake. If anything can happen where centralization can happen, no one will be able to escape, my brother.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a good thing when we, you know, we are able to do transactions where you are sitting.
Yes.
You know, you don't need to go to the market. You need to just book for a flight, and then you book for transport. You know, you move from one place to another. Life has become
integrated,
easier.
Yeah,
but
at a cost.
Definitely. It's a topic for another day.
Definitely we shall unpack that. Before we get into this one, you know, my elder, I've seen ask.com, even when you are searching for something and it would come up, it usually comes up down the page, right? And it's there.
Yes.
It's almost so annoying because I'm almost like, I don't want to go and type this thing again. I've typed it here and I see all the search results. Maybe, you know, for those instances where you're trying to look at what other people are saying, if you're looking maybe at an academic paper, whatever the case might be. But there's that ask.com, and we never really go to ask.com.
No, we don't. The other issue is that when you get used to something, your brain thinks that's the only way to do things, and you want any other thing that will come to mimic the way your brain has been taught.
Yeah.
But if you just tell yourself to say, let me check what I can get from this, you will find that there are a lot of benefits from other search engines also.
Okay.
And you can also find that your brain, you can get used to that kind of platform.
Yeah.
But the other issue, like I said, the cooperation.
Mm.
You know, Google has incorporated a lot of companies into it, whereby they've got a lot of money for adverts, and whatever you do, Google come on top.
Mm.
You know, so because it is used by so many huge companies,
sure.
Therefore, a small company that just comes from nowhere, it will find it hard to penetrate.
It will struggle indeed to penetrate.
Yes.
I mean, Yandex, you've spoken about the others as well, even the Chinese one, the Russia. I mean, I personally don't even know these things. And I've seen that Google, for instance, you know, about adaptation and it being, you know, user friendly, and one can even access it using their own language. You'd see these little icons that they sometimes do. For instance, if it's Nelson Mandela, they'll put in that little thing just around that time of the death of Nelson Mandela. I'm not necessarily talking about his death, but I'm just saying their ability to be relevant to what's happening at that time in that particular country is something that I've seen to be quite interesting about Google, and that's exactly what you are saying as well, and it does set them apart.
Yes, and we can take a leaf from this. We can also, in other areas, we can copy the model. There are a lot of areas whereby if we could be as relevant as Google has become, even as a community, as a church, as a spiritual organization, whereby when people need anything, they just click, they find an answer, they find a direction, they find, you know, some counseling, you know, we can be like that, but we need to start thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord has gifted these people to think like that, and majority of them may not even acknowledge God, but people who are able to acknowledge God as creator, we are still struggling in giving out information to the people.
Sure. And I love what you said, that a human being can think, and it's exactly echoing what you're saying, especially as believers in Christ, we should think and use our brains and become that, I suppose, the same Google. What Google is to the world is what we are supposed to be as Christians. To me, my elder, there's no competition. Is there competition for Google?
There can be competition, but it will be difficult, like we have said.
Yes.
Currently, Google dominates the search engine market.
Yes.
But there is always potential for competition.
Mm.
Remember, some years ago, there was a company called Kodak.
Yes.
I usually talk about this.
Yeah.
They were the gurus in photography and, you know, they used to print out films and all those negatives and whatever. No one knew that that company would go down. But the dawn of digitalization came, and they were left behind because they couldn't cope. So, innovation and technology. If a new entrant develops innovation search algorithms or technologies that provides more accurate and relevant results, users may be attracted
to that,
to the new offering.
Yeah.
So all which is needed is innovation. And I know there will be something, unless Google works hard and they start coming up with things which are out of this world using AI.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there is room for that. When we talk about privacy in the near future, privacy concerns are becoming very, very
important.
Important. With the growing concerns about privacy and data security. Search engines that provide user privacy may actually be the ones that people flock to. Then we may have in the near future specialized search engines whereby, you know, according to industries, those search engines that will be industry specific.
That would be cool. Yeah.
According to interest, you know, then people will be flocking to those, because going to something that has a lot, you know, concentration, they don't dig deeper because they are all over. They touch everything.
Yeah.
But if we can have search engines that are specifically intended, then people may go to search. Then regional competitors, like we have talked about China and Russia.
Yeah.
If we can have regional competitors where people, because like Google, when you go to United States, you put something, it may give you something else because it is relevant to America. And then here, something else. People have discovered that when you're in America, you put in certain words, certain lead words.
Yeah.
It will give you different information as compared to a person who is in maybe Congo DRC or South Africa.
Sure.
So now we need regional competitors. If regional competitors can come, then the search engine may incorporate culture, linguistic, regional needs. Then maybe we can have competition. Government regulations and policies related to competition, all those can also play a very important role. And partnerships and alliances. Because, you can see how artificial intelligence is doing. Things like ChatGPT and the like. Somebody is researching, because all these things come as a result of research. So people are researching. And when you are researching, you look at the problems that you have, and then you work out. You want to make it easy for a person. That's like in business. If you want your business to thrive, make life easy for the consumers. So if somebody can come up with something that will be very easy, that will give you a lot of information, that will be very, very reliable, then people will flock it. Then user experience and interface design. Now, these are the things that we one must look at, the user experience. How do you feel when you are searching Google? Does it give you that user experience? If another search engine can come up whereby when a person is surfing, it is not only giving or catering for their needs to find information, but also maybe emotional needs are being catered for. You know, there are things that are coming with that. Then people will see to say, okay, I think this is a much more better than Google, where you just click and it gives you the wording. But Google also maybe can come up with such things like that because of artificial intelligence, whereby people's emotions can also be incorporated in their search experience. Changing user behavior, customer education, all those. So anyway, we have a long way to go.
Sure.
At the moment, Google is still dominating.
Yeah.
And but the time is very, very dynamic, and markets also are very dynamic, and they change. So successful competition often involves understanding and addressing evolving user needs. Then you try to offer unique features or advantages, and building trust among users. So the search engine space, my brother, is dynamic. new entrants with compelling value propositions could potentially challenge Google's position.
Yeah.
But I say over time.
Sure.
Let me end there.
Well, it's very interesting. As you were speaking there, I was asking Google to tell me, can there be competition to Google? And such, you know, the ability of Google to actually bring all these answers in literally a second or so is what you were talking about is exactly what came out. That's number one. But two, I find that Google is giving me answers to that Google can have competition. I'm like, how does this thing work? Which is quite fascinating for me as a layman in this space. That actually, if you want to know how you can take over from Google, just go and ask Google and Google will tell you how you can take over from
Google.
It will
be difficult because it can tell you.
Yeah.
But what it will tell you is to build up something that will take you, for example, from 1998 to today.
Yeah.
So for you to arrive at where they are, you need all those years, 20-something, 30 years, for you to reach where they are.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, with the technology, everything is in the open.
Yes.
Everything is in the open. The issue is that, are you able to penetrate the market?
Yeah.
Are you able to change the mindset? Do you have money? Do you have the capacity? It's not just a matter of coming up with something.
Yeah.
Are you going to reinvent the wheel?
Yeah.
So the only thing you can do is to maybe in the near future to take advantage of the new technologies that are coming and then build something. If you find that maybe there will be another type of internet that will not be built on what the internet is built on, then you jump on that and make sure that you create something that is better than Google.
Fantastic. Yeah, a lot to absorb, a lot to think about from that. Any final thoughts there, my elder, as we bring this one to an end?
No, I just want to say, you know, in this life, we have to appreciate God's creation.
Yes.
We have to appreciate God's talented people. We are told in the Bible that every good gift comes from God.
Yes.
And we have to appreciate also what these technologies have done and how, because of technology, the word of God has gone very far. So we actually are thankful to these innovations that have come our way.
Yeah.
But we can also learn something from these business people.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that they are making money, but we can learn something from them, how to innovate, how to, within our space also, to be a force to reckon with.
Yeah.
So we need to work hard, and we must incorporate technology in everything that we are doing so that the work of God can go further, because there are a lot of places where the word of God has not reached. So, yeah, let's continue learning. We need a lot of people who are technologically awakened. So we need a lot of people. We need church members to invest in IT and AI so that we can come up with ideas of spreading the gospel and making the work easier before Jesus Christ comes. We shouldn't just applaud the people who are doing things out there. We must be on the bandwagon and think in the gospel direction, how we can come up with things and ideas that can take the word of God further.
For people who may not know, Elder Damon Mubinde is a senior lecturer at Helderberg College of Higher Education. I know he specializes in information and technology. Thank you so much, my elder. That was quite eye-opening. And I love those last words. Let us think for the gospel as well. Thank you so much, and may God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you too.
God bless you too.
Bye.
Bye.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.